Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. You can hear the program live each Saturday morning at 10:30, and there are many more interviews archived from our Faith Radio programs available online at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry.
It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we are here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're so glad that you've joined us.
You just said it. We are always glad.
We're always glad.
Right, that you are here. It is that time of year. The days are getting shorter, the leaves are about gone off the trees, and the air is getting cool, and it's getting crisp outside. It's the weekend of Halloween. And whether you like Halloween or not, Americans spend over $4 billion a year on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday.
Wow.
And in addition, a quarter of annual candy sales occur during the Halloween season in the United States.
It's a lot of candy.
It is a lot, yes.
And that's a lot of money. I think I've even seen a stat that says as high as $5 billion. That's billion. We're talking billion
dollars.
Billion
with a B, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So people are buying a lot of stuff. There is
right.
a lot of stuff. You walk into these department stores and you see tableware for Halloween mm-hmm. and nets of spider webs you can throw all over stuff and crazy, creepy kind of stuff. I even saw those poppers at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them on the plates for people. I saw those for Halloween. I'm like, what? But anyway, when I was a kid, I don't remember all this hype. For me, it was pretty much the costumes and the
right.
candy. We did go out and trick-or-treat. Did you celebrate Halloween?
Yeah, we were the same way, and we never spent a lot of money on a costume. If you want to be a ghost, you put a bed sheet over your head.
Yeah, lots of sheets with holes in their
right,
eyes.
Yeah, and I'd go as a hobo.
Yes.
Tattered and usually had the stick with the bag on the
yeah,
back of it like
yeah.
I was hitchhiking, so I'd go as a hobo usually. Yeah, it wasn't like it is now, I don't think.
My favorite costume was I was Little Bo Peep one year.
Yeah.
One of my mom's friends would sew things and make beautiful things. She made
right.
a Bo Peep costume, and I had the staff and everything. It was so cool.
My oldest daughter went as Little Bo Peep 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
But our youngest daughter was her sheep.
That's great.
They got so much candy because they were just so cute. You know?
I bet. And we
right.
used to take pillowcases. Pillowcases are great because you can get a lot in them.
Right. That's yeah. true.
I know both of us were raised in Christian home. The difference is where I grew up in the Midwest, it wasn't about all this evil and scary and creepy stuff. It was cute stuff. Like you said, like Little Bo Peep and the sheep. There wasn't a lot of scary stuff. We weren't concerned about people putting things in the candy. And it was all about the candy. I don't remember anybody in our church, and I was trying to think back when we were preparing for the show, Chris,
mm-hmm.
whether our pastor ever talked about Halloween. I can't remember that. Do you?
No, it, like you said, it was such an innocent deal.
Yeah.
You know, why bring it up? But you're right, the church does talk about it now.
They do.
And Halloween is controversial within the Christian community. And Christians have lots of opinions on what you should do with this.
And that's why we're going to talk about it today,
right.
because there's a lot of opinion out there. And I think when we talk about opinions, we need to be careful and look at some guiding principles. I've found when I talk to people is that most Christians agree on the origins of Halloween. They understand, yeah, it's a little sketch. We know that there's some problems with the origins, which we'll mention in a minute. But then there's a wide range of opinion on mm-hmm. what to do with it. Did you know anything about the origins?
Never thought a thing of it.
I know. We were so naive to this whole
right.
process.
Like you said, it was candy and a goofy costume
yeah.
and go run around
yeah.
in the neighborhood and collect candy. But let's talk for a minute about the origins in case you haven't heard or read up upon it.
Yeah.
Let's learn a thing or two about that. Knowing the origins may help decide how Christians should deal with this holiday.
I looked at a whole bunch of sites, and I was trying to get really accurate information, and I saw a lot of variation, honestly, in what people were saying about the origins. So I went mm-hmm. with what I found on Christianity Today.
Okay.
And I think this is accurate in terms of a lot of the other sites I saw. Here was the deal. More than 1,000 years ago, it was all about the Christians confronting these pagan rites, that the pagans were trying to appease the Lord of Death and evil spirits. And part of this unsavory beginning, which was way before Jesus was born, had to do with the Druids, and that is now what is written in France. And so they would every year at the end of summer, and at the end of summer, this is when they would sacrifice to the god. It was marking the end of something, and that's where the death kind of thing comes into, everything's dying, and we're going to sacrifice to the gods. So it was the beginning of the Celtic year, and they believe that it's Samhain. Doesn't look like that when you look at it, but Samhain is the Lord of Death, and they believe that he sent evil spirits abroad to attack humans who could escape by only assuming disguises and looking like evil spirits themselves. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
The waning of the sun, like you were talking about, the approach of dark winter, made these evil spirits then rejoice and play nasty tricks. So most of our Halloween practices can be traced back to these old pagan rites and the superstitions.
And it was around about that time that the church had a response to this as early as the 4th century.
They did. The Eastern Church celebrated a festival in honor of All Saints. In the 7th and 8th centuries, the Christians celebrated All Saints' Day.
Right.
But it was called All Hallows' Day, which then became the custom to call the eve before All Halloween.
Halloween.
So that's
okay.
How we got it.
Right. So the name comes from All Saints' Day, the celebration in the early Christian church, and it's the day set aside for solemn remembrance of martyrs.
Right. Mm-hmm. All Hallows' Eve, the evening before All Saints' Day, began with a time of remembrance for the martyrs and the sacrifice of what they had done. But it was eventually contracted to Halloween, which became Halloween like we know it. It was originally an alternative to this holiday. I think that's fascinating because it was during that time, October 31st to November 2nd, that they would celebrate this pagan festival. So you can see the Christians were like, we're going to celebrate the All Saints Day. We're going to have this celebration for the martyrs. It was their version of the Christian alternative to what the pagans were doing.
Very
interesting. So there you go.
Right.
It's kind of all over the door here. The first one is the trick or treat. It started in Ireland hundreds of years ago. Groups of farmers would go door to door collecting food and materials for a village and a bonfire. So think about it. We do bonfires on this day.
Right.
Those who gave were promised prosperity. If you gave something, you got prosperity. Those who did not received bad luck and threats. A little bit of a push there to do the right thing.
Right.
What happened is when a whole influx of Irish Catholic immigrants came to the United States in the 1800s, the custom of trick-or-treating came with them. But then I looked at all these other sites. No, it's the focus on death, occultism, divination, the thoughts of spirits returning to haunt the living, all the creepy occultic things. This is a whole thing. They believe spirits were earthbound until they received a proper send-off with treats, and that's where the trick and the treating would come. If you were neglecting the spirits, then they would trick you. It's got some creepy history as well.
Right. Sounds like
it. Yeah.
Well, how about this? Does your family on Halloween carve a pumpkin to place on your porch?
We actually do.
If so, then you can once again thank the Irish for that tradition as well.
Good.
The custom began with a turnip.
With a turnip?
Began with a turnip, yeah.
Not a pumpkin?
Believe it or not, it was
a turnip.
Yes.
Oh, I don't see too many people carving turnips.
Right.
We should do that. We should carve a turnip.
Let's try that, yeah. Well, they would hollow out the turnip and place lighted candles inside to scare off the evil spirits. And then when the Irish came to America, they discovered the pumpkin as a larger substitute.
Well, it's much easier to carve.
Right. So now we carve pumpkins instead of turnip.
So have you ever bobbed for apples?
Definitely.
Bobbing for apples was a pagan practice used to divine the spiritual world's blessings on a couple's romance. Wow. I did not know that. I bet a lot of churches bob for apples. I bet they don't know that that's where that comes from. And then, of course, the costumes were all about these spirits that were tricking and treating, and they were wearing a costume so that they could fool people and wander around. And I think part of what we're seeing in some of this background is that you've got some of this Irish tradition, and then you've got these occultic roots as well.
As we go on through the show today, obviously, we'll learn more about the holiday of Halloween.
Yeah.
And when we come back from the break, I do want to ask you about how does Wicca fit into the entire thing. We will talk about that on the Dr. Linda Mitchell Show coming right up. Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mitchell Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mitchell.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamintel.com, or online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and on today's program, we're discussing Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween time.
Sounds a little creepy.
Well, before the break, Dr. Linda, I asked you about Wicca, and of course we took the break. So how does Wicca fit into this? Because we hear that's a high holy day for Wicca followers and for witches.
In looking up Wicca, what I found out, which I did not know, is that it was only in existence since the 1950s. That's not very long ago.
No.
And it was released from Britain. It was an export. All Wiccans would classify themselves as witches. This is how I understand it when I read it. But not all witches would classify themselves as Wiccans. In fact, it is one of the two high holy days that they have. And for those who believe and follow in the practices of witchcraft, Halloween represents a real opportunity to embrace evil, the devilish stuff that goes on, the dark side of the spiritual world. We're not trying to minimize some of these issues. And I know this is going to make some people go, that's ridiculous. And other people go, well, no, I want to hear this. I want to hear what the roots of this are so we can decide what we want to do as a family about all of this.
Well, I think a good way to do that at this point would be to look into the scriptures and see what it says.
Yeah. There's nothing specific in the scriptures about Halloween. You can't look up a scripture in a concordance and find Halloween and it's going to give you five scriptures. It doesn't work that way. But it does talk a lot about evil principles in terms of how we deal. And I think all of this does help us make a decision. If we look at the Old Testament, witchcraft was a crime punishable by death. If we look at Exodus, Leviticus, but then we look at the New Testament and there's more about the occult in there. If we look at the story in Acts 8, this is the story of Simon. And this shows that occultism and Christianity do not mix together.
Right.
So those are opposing forces. And then there's Elymas, the sorcerer in the story of Acts 13. The scripture talks about that sorcery is violently opposed to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Paul calls that sorcerer a child of the devil, an enemy of righteousness, and a perverter of the ways of God. That's pretty strong.
No, that's a strong
language.
Indictment.
And then in Acts 16, at Philippi, there's the story of a fortune-telling girl who lost her demon powers when the evil spirits were cast out of her by Paul. Remember that story?
Yes.
The interesting thing here is that Paul refused to allow even good statements to come from a demonic influenced person. This stuff is pretty specific. Acts 19 shows new converts who have abruptly broken with their former occultism by confessing their evil deeds, bringing their magic paraphernalia and burning it before everyone. This is in Acts 19:19, if you want to look up that story. There is a lot of very specific talking in the Bible about denouncing the darkness, the evil world, the world of spirits. Now, the problem is people have to believe that those spirits are real. Demons are real. That is an important thing that we have to talk about, that there is real evil and demonic powers in the world.
If you want to dress up like a toaster,
I'm visualizing that costume.
Right. That might be okay, but once you step into the spiritual side of things and start representing that evil, might be a problem.
That always made me uncomfortable. I never went to those scare things. I didn't like the ghosty, goblin-y. I hate horror movies. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if you like them. I just do not like horror movies because I do feel that we're sort of playing with the spiritual realm that a lot of people don't understand.
There's not a lot of sense to put yourself through that.
That's one of the things, I think, is if you're not sure, why expose yourself to some of that stuff?
We're discussing Halloween today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We found these questions to ask yourself as you wrestle with how to respond to Halloween, and these might help you think through your response.
One is, God is a God of life, but Halloween focuses on death.
Mm-hmm.
Should I celebrate a holiday where people decorate their front yards with tombstones?
Good question.
I had a really good Christian friend in my last neighborhood, and she loved Halloween. We had lots of talks with her, and she did not know any of the roots of Halloween and what all this meant. I had her come in and have a conversation with our pastor because she's a Christian, and she was a relatively new believer, and we talked it through, and then she started thinking, you know, maybe I don't want to do all that kind of decorating. But that was her choice based on what she was hearing.
So what did she think Halloween was? It was just fun?
You know, just fun. Yeah. Just fun and kind of crazy costumes and parties.
Well, the scriptures tell us to put away deeds of darkness and that light has nothing in common with darkness.
Does.
So ask yourself this. Is celebrating a dark holiday something a child of light should be doing?
We're not telling you what to do. We're pointing out these scriptures in terms of what they said. One person said, and I think this is something we need to talk about, I have been delivered from fear and panic attacks and knew that fear comes from the enemy. So should I participate in a holiday that has fear at its foundation?
No.
I think for that person, probably not.
Well, witchcraft is clearly detestable to the Lord. Shouldn't something that glorifies witchcraft be detestable to me as well?
That's something to think about. Is it cute when we dress our kids like the devil or witches or ghouls? Is it demonic? Here's the question with that. Are we desensitizing them to real evil in the world when we do that?
Definitely. Dress your kid up like
a pancake.
A pancake or a detergent bottle. I've seen that before.
Do you have any pictures of these costumes? We should put those on Instagram.
We should find some. Yes, that would be good.
Yeah, we should. That would be fun.
Well, another person says, my extended family thinks it's ridiculous that we do not allow our son to dress up for Halloween. Should their opinions matter to me more than God's? Shouldn't pleasing God be my utmost concern? Or am I making too big of a deal of this?
I think you have to go with your conscience. And when you pray about this and when you think about this, you need to make a decision that you think is right before you, the Lord, and your family.
I think you and I agree that we should talk to our kids about this.
Yeah, since we never had anybody talk to us about it, maybe it would be good to talk about it. I feel strongly that we should be teaching three things about Halloween. One is that there is a spiritual world that operates out there and it's real. When we see things like 9/11 and we see horrific things happen in the world, we have a better idea that evil does exist. When we have a Virginia Tech massacre, we think there's something evil that is going on in some of these events. We need to teach our kids that the goodness comes from God and that evil comes from Satan. I am not a person who says there are good witches and things like that. I think evil comes from the enemy and goodness comes from God. The second thing is that life with Christ has power over darkness. This is what takes the fear out from kids. No matter what you are exposed to, God is greater and the power of God moves the darkness out. So you don't have to be afraid. The third thing is those who celebrate Halloween may be doing it for so many different reasons, which we're going to talk about in our last segment, that we need to be careful not to judge others, but have a family approach.
Well, we hope so far you've been thinking about your position on Halloween. And when we come back, more on what specifically you can do. Stay with us on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Hey, I know it's hard to believe, but the holiday season is just around the corner. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And can I just say that some relationships can be really stressed during the holiday season? You know, it's not too early to think and pray about what you want the holidays to look like this year. Here are a few quick points to ponder. Set a budget. You do yourself a great service when you decide in advance how much you'll spend and how. Discuss your plans with friends and family. If you wait too long, you may find yourself overcommitted or someone's feelings are hurt because you don't show up where you're expected. Talking about it now takes away a lot of the tension that can come up later. And focus on why we celebrate. Try being thankful for the whole month of November and begin now to acknowledge the significance of Jesus' birth in your life. You don't want to wait until December 25th to celebrate Him. With a little planning and a lot of prayer, you can enjoy the holidays instead of stressing through the season.
Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcast on the MyFaithRadio.com website. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, which is anything but spooky.
That's right.
This pre-Halloween season.
We're fun, but not spooky.
That's right. A lot of people I know create an alternative that is positive and uplifting, that celebrates good over evil and the triumph of God over Satan. And churches do this, and they have harvest parties. I've also heard of a thing called trunk or treat.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, fill your trunk full of
lots of candy,
right,
that comes home with the kids.
Yes.
So that's one of the main alternatives that we see. The idea behind that is to provide families a place to have fun and enjoy the harvest rather than placing emphasis on death. Our producer and I used to go to a church where they did that. They brought in lots of people from the neighborhoods. It's a teachable moment, because then you can celebrate together the harvest, and you can talk to people about God's protection, his provision, because the harvest is about provision, right?
Right.
And then the purpose for our life. I think a lot of places when they do these harvest festivals, or some of them call them Reformation festivals, and a lot of times the kids dress up like Bible characters. They did at our church. I sent my kids a lot of times looking like Moses. We had this sheep coat. I'm terrible at costumes. I go, put on the wall, get a staff, you're good, go.
It's funny you say that. A friend of mine, he takes his kids trick-or-treating, but he dresses like, one year it was John Calvin. As if we know what John Calvin looked
like. What did he look
like?
Right. I'm thinking, what is that costume?
Martin Luther was one year.
Okay, so just kind of German.
Right.
I don't know what that would look like.
Some of these early Christians, he said, I'm John Calvin today. Like, okay, well, I'll take your word for it.
Not everybody agrees with that, and we understand that. We're saying that this is why some people are doing this. Some churches even leave the church building, and they go out and they do acts of mercy that night in their communities. Mm-hmm. They're treating needy families, and they take them food baskets and gift cards and the gospel message. There's an alternative there that they're trying to do.
Right. It's another option to Christians, limited, non-compromising participation in Halloween. Say more about that.
This was what we're talking about that our families did. I don't think particularly is anything evil in candy, except for the fact that it makes me gain weight. But other than that, that's not really evil. Costumes, I don't think are evil. And I don't like those creepy ones, but mm-hmm. the costumes like the pancake and stuff we're talking about.
Right.
And I don't even think going door to door to your neighbors is an evil thing. In fact, a lot of times we have a chance to talk to the kids when they come.
Right.
We engage them. We get to know our neighbors when we were doing this. We thought that it was a way to get to know our neighbors. And as long as the costumes for us were innocent and the behavior doesn't dishonor Christ, we were okay with our kids trick-or-treating. We did have a neighbor in our house in Chicago that did this really creepy scare thing. And we told our kids, you know what? We don't need you to go to that house. Hmm. It's okay. The neighbors want to do that, but it's just not our thing, because we believe in evil spirits. We don't want to invoke any of that.
Right.
That was our position on it.
Well, another position is that Christians could respond to Halloween with gospel compassion. Now, that's basically attacking the holiday and saying, here's why you're wrong. Here's the alternative.
There are places that do these scare films and this message of going to hell, and it's not my cup of tea, but they're using this to terrify people, which I'm not sure is the right approach to getting people into a saving and loving relationship with Jesus. But I think the idea behind that is so that the church can kind of work with people and talk about the reality of hell.
I will tell you this.
What?
Attended one.
Yes.
And me and a friend of mine were leaving. I was in high school. And he was a little quiet. I figured he was shaken up by the spookiness and the death that was portrayed. And he said, I need to talk to you. Honestly, don't know where I'd go if I died.
That's the idea of those. And
right,
to open it up to, where is your future? Is this stuff real? That may be an alternative.
It is interesting. What about using Halloween and all that it brings to the imagination, death imagery, superstition, and other expressions of debauchery? What about using that as an opportunity to engage the unbelieving world with the gospel of Jesus?
I think God is giving everyone a conscience that responds to his truth. When you prick the ears of people with the truth of the word, we're hoping that it's doing something like it did with your friend, that maybe he's beginning to think about it.
Right.
And the conscience is really the Christian's ally in terms of helping with evangelism. We can take the time to inform our friends and our family about the biblical truth of the Bible, the sin nature, the things that we're talking about, and the hope of Christ and what we have for eternity. I prefer to do it from a love perspective, but the reality is that you don't want to get saved to avoid hell, but sometimes that's the first step for people, and then you can bring them into the love and the grace of God.
That's right. Now, some during this time of year for Halloween will adopt a no participation
right.
policy. As Christian parents, they don't want their kids participating in spiritually compromising activities and listening to ghost stories and coloring pictures of witches and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. They don't want their kids to dress up in costumes for trick-or-treating or even attend Halloween parties.
Yeah, because they've seen those roots. Mm-hmm. I think Christians should respond to Halloween with cautionary wisdom. Some people fear the activity that's going on that night. It's interesting, the incidence of Satan-associated crimes are probably lower than most people think, but that activity is clearly there, and maybe we don't even know what's going on in the spirit world. That's the issue that's going on. Pay attention to what you believe. Here's the takeaway for what the Lord is telling you to do. Talk as a family. Pray. Ask for wisdom. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not what other people are saying. Help your children understand the position you're taking and why. And that requires you to talk about some of these roots and why you're doing what you're doing. And then I would say to you in the church, respect other people's decisions, especially if they don't agree with yours, and talk about why you disagree, especially those people who've had encounters with darkness and evil spirits. That is a trigger for them. I would not go anywhere near this kind of thing. And there may be somebody who came out of the occult and doesn't want to have anything to do with that night because they know what they participated in. I think we need to be careful not to judge and to get people to pray. My caution is think about what the holiday means and stands for, what you feel is right or what not to do. We're always going to the Lord in all of these things. One of the best things that comes out of deciding what to do is that it does awaken us to the whole idea that evil exists and it isn't some Hollywood fantasy. Hmm. For children, this is really important to do. So no matter what you decide, I'm certain of this. Jesus overcame all evil, so we don't have to fear. He overcame the darkness, and he triumphed over death and evil. Every day, including Halloween, not just on Halloween, his overcoming power works in us when we are one of his. Let your kids know that they are covered by the precious blood of Christ. And that isn't scary. That's comforting. And no matter what darkness we encounter on any day of the year, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And for that reason, we don't have to fear. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our social media director, Cody Gokenauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to you, Chris, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, always remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.